When I was growing up, I was under the impression that my dad was the greatest dad on earth. And it's a sentiment that is shared by almost all children throughout their early childhood of their own dads. They are figures to behold, and their words commanded not only respect, but they demanded compliance. If you did something wrong, you always knew it, and whatever punishment was due you, you could expect it. It isn't until we get a little older that we see that our fathers were not always the strongest, the wisest, or the most valiant. They were, in fact, prone to error. They were, in fact, not always the smartest or the strongest. They were, in fact, human. But until this realization occurs, we have that childlike innocence and mischievousness that is so very important in our human development. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, one of the seven, is in Latin, timor domini, or fear of the Lord. It is one of the gifts that we tend to look at and say, what? How exactly can fearing the Lord be a gift? And why is it a gift anyways? It is a gift to be certain, but we need to bring it into context. Now, theologians split fear into two aspects. One, fear of punishment. And two, fear of disappointing. Externally, our actions are entirely the same. Do what's right and avoid what's wrong. But internally, from our disposition and our motivation, they are really quite different. It is the latter fear, that fear of disappointing, which is really the gift of the Holy Spirit, and I'll explain why. When we're growing up, our parents give us lots of rules. They say, don't do this, don't do that, keep away from this, keep away from that. It seems like there are an endless number of rules. Of course, as kids, we're all about pushing boundaries. Can we get away with this? Can we get away with that? Does this sound familiar? Trust me when I say that this has its roots in original sin. By the time we reach the age of reason, we, of course, know when we're doing something wrong. It's not like we don't know the rules. We're just testing how far we can go. And as such, our parents, as keeper of the peace, must dispense the appropriate punishment to go with our particular misbehaviors. Now, the Israelites got the same treatment from God. When God delivered them from the bondage of slavery in Egypt, he had to impose on them 10 commandments and then supplement them with the Mosaic Law. And if you ever have a case of insomnia, try going through the book of Leviticus and that litany of rules and regulations that the Israelites had to obey. My personal favorite is the separate command not to sacrifice your children to Molech. How can this be a problem? But it obviously had to have been a problem, otherwise they would not have created this particular rule or law. Sort of obvious. Apparently, there must have been some breakage of this law to bring it into existence. And what was the punishment?
Death by stoning.
But back to our home life, as we mature, our fear changes, or we hope it changes. Instead of having fear of punishment, we instead have a fear of disappointing. Now, at this point in our lives, we know most of the rules, like I said, what is right, what is wrong. And we know the relative punishments that go along with breaking the rules. Our fear is not about the punishment from our parents, but about doing something that disappoints our parents. Almost all of us can remember one or more incidents in our adolescence, or maybe even later, that we'd much rather forget. We did something more or less stupid, breaking some rule or even a law. Think back. If it made an impression, it's still quite easily recalled. Were we more concerned about the punishment, or were we more concerned about encountering our parents and seeing that look of disappointment on their faces, especially your dad's? Chances are it was the latter. And if it was, this was the seed of your transformation by the gift of the Holy Spirit. Once it blossoms and grows, your motivation is not just to not disappoint your earthly parents, but to not disappoint your heavenly Father, who is God. In today's gospel, we see Jesus in the boat sleeping, but awoken by his disciples because they feared death on the sea by drowning in the storm. At this point, they are still quite spiritually immature. And like I was growing up and having awe over my dad's supposed superhuman abilities, the disciples were doing the same of Jesus, who actually did have superhuman abilities. They suspected that Jesus could do something miraculous. Otherwise, they would not have woken him and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" They just didn't know what he'd do. Of course, Jesus, who is God, has command over everything, including the elements. The disciples, naturally, were in awe. And I could just imagine their cheering, not just because he saved their lives, but that he could control the wind and the waves. Yet, they still had some growing up to do, and that's a great model for us. He was disappointed with them. Otherwise, he would not have rebuked them. "Do you not yet have faith?" It is clear that they had some spiritual growing up. And this is an important lesson for us all, because even as adults, while we may be physically mature or intellectually mature, we may lack spiritual maturity. In our early years, we could not read our mom and dad's minds. They needed to lay down rules so that we know what pleases them and what does not. In the end, it's to obey their rules because we know that doing so makes them happy. As I said, we don't want to disappoint them. And likewise, with God, we cannot read his mind. We need to understand his laws so that we know not to break them. And as I said, we don't want to disappoint him. So what are the rules? Most of them are intuitive, but others have to be learned or reasoned, often by taking our own wants and desires out of the equation. And as the church does teach them, but somehow many of the rules and laws get cast away as if they don't matter. We forget that our desires trump the good in nefarious ways. The popular ones are, of course, obvious: abortion, contraception, euthanasia, and irregular marriage. We don't see the direct punishment, or we're blinded by our desires, so there's no fear of punishment. And without fear of punishment, then how can we have fear of disappointing God? Well, actually, there is, or there should be, fear of punishment, but unfortunately, we're distracted by material pursuits, things that we think make us happy, but in the end, don't. We can be relatively successful. We can have that dream job. We can have that timeshare in Tahoe, or the ability to eat at in Napa whenever we want. Perhaps. But at what cost? Are we trading our eternal soul for the pleasures of what our earthly existence has to offer? Some politicians say that we should rely on our personal consciences. But are our consciences informed by the truth, or are they biased by our desires and preferences? This is the important lesson to take home from here. Disappointment comes with breaking a rule, not with obeying them. In your lifetime, your parents may give you tens of thousands of rules. Don't hit your siblings. Clean up after yourselves. Don't run with scissors. Most of what they teach you, as I said, is common sense. But they don't cheer you on when you obey them. They don't say, "Whew, you didn't run with scissors today. Bravo." That's not how it works. Disappointment comes when you actually break a rule. They can say, "Stop it, you're running with scissors." Of course, this is a trivial example, but the analogy works very well with God and His church. You can come to Mass every Sunday. You can tithe your income to various charities. You can be faithful to your wedding vows. However, if you do sin, and we all do, that's where the disappointment comes in. And we need to treat it with all the gravity that each and every sin has. Often we think that if we're mostly good, we do our duty, attend Mass, tithe, and pay attention to our wedding vows, etc., then God will somehow overlook the occasional indiscretion. Like praise for not running with scissors, it doesn't work that way. So let's try this litmus test. Are there moral teachings of the church that we don't agree with? It's okay if it's a yes. We all have our doubts and our concerns. But do we ignore them and perhaps violate them? Perhaps we just don't understand the punishment, or we just don't have the fear of disappointing God. We might indeed be spiritually immature. But to really get that closeness with God, just like we broke through in our adolescent years with our parents, we need to figure it out. Being a faithful Catholic is not an easy thing. And if someone told you it was, then I have some swampland in Florida that I'd like to sell you. It's hard to obey laws, yes, and even harder to keep ourselves from disappointing those who love us. God loves us more than anything else because He is love. And reaching that spiritual maturity may take years of work to convert our minds, souls, and bodies. But the rewards are immeasurable and eternal. Recall the times that your achievements have made your parents the happiest people on earth, especially your father. Even more so is your heavenly Father proud of you when you keep His commandments. Jesus said so, and it is true.